Saram, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai to continue our Thursday live programs from Prashantinilayam. Till now, you are listening to the live bhajans from the Sai Kulwant Hall, and just like it happens on every Thursday, you heard Bhagwan's voice reverberating in the hallowed Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashantinilayam. I remember talking to Mr. Krishnadas Erali, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, whom Swami blessed way back in the 60s to sing in Prashantinilayam. And he was telling how on one occasion Swami said that you must sing the bhajan with so much of perfection and so much of feeling that even if one person sheds a tear in love for God, Swami said, that is enough for me. I don't need to have any other food. Food for Bhagwan is the devotee's ananda. And Swami said, you must, at least at the end of the bhajan session, if there is one person who could connect with Lord in a heartfelt manner, then the bhajan session perhaps has done justice to some extent. And Swami went on to add and explain to Mr. Erati that every bhajan session is an occasion when the Lord gives a personal interview with every devotee. Because it is during this session that every devotee cries for him, pines for him, offloads his problems at his lotus feet, and also revels in the ecstasy of being with him. That is why after every bhajan session we feel so light, so calm, so serene. We want to carry that feeling, we want to preserve that feeling. It is because bhajan sessions can be such great purifiers that we have to ensure that we maintain their purity. We have to ensure that we take every step to ensure that nothing is done which compromises the beauty and the bliss of bhajan singing. And to help us in this endeavor, we have this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And let's close our eyes and picture the Lord in our mind's eye and offer Him our prayer as we begin a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Let us offer our most prayerful and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we relentlessly strive to follow your message in our lives and strive to be your messengers of peace, of love, of happiness. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we will be learning a bhajan adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Ganesha. This bhajan is in the language Hindi, and the first line goes like this.
Pashupati tanaya balagajanana.
So this is what we will be learning now. Let us become familiar with the lyrics, and then as always we will move on to the tune, the raga, the beat of this bhajan, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to a short excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam, a former student of Baba's University, who is a gifted singer and also a blessed composer of many Sai bhajans. So here are the lyrics.
ಪಶುಪತಿ ತನಯ ಬಾಲ ಗಜಾನನ ತುಮ ಹೋ ವಿಘ್ನ ವಿನಾಶ ಗಣೇಶ ಹೇ ಶಿವ ನಂದನ ಬಾಲ ಗಜಾನನ ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರದಾತ ಮಂಗಳ ಕರ ಹೇ ಮಂಗಳ ಕರ ಹೇ ಸುಂದರ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಣೇಶ.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learn how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow him after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh. This will help you to get a good idea of the tune of this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham. Pashupati tanaya balagajanana
Pashupati tanaya balagajanana
Pashupati tanaya balagajanana
Pashupati tanaya balagajanana
Tumaho vighna vinasha ganesha
Tumaho vighna vinasha ganesha
Tumaho vighna vinasha
Tum ho vighna vinasha
He Shivanandana bala gajanana
He Shivanandana bala gajanana
He Shivanandana ಬಾಲ ಗಜಾನನ
ಹೇ ಶಿವನಂದನ ಬಾಲ ಗಜಾನನ
ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರದಾತ
ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರದಾತ
ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರದಾತ
ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರದಾತ
ಮಂಗಳ ಕರ ಹೇ ಮಂಗಳ ಕರ ಹೇ
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 ಸುಂದರ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಣೇಶ ಗಣೇಶ
ಸುಂದರ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಣೇಶ ಗಣೇಶ
ಸುಂದರ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಣೇಶ
ಸುಂದರ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಣೇಶ
ಪಶುಪತಿ ತನಯ ಬಾಲ ಗಜಾನನ.
So that was Ravi Kumar and Anirudh delineating for us the tune of every line of this beautiful Ganesha Bhajan. And now, let us learn a little more about the composition, what are the swaras and which raga is this bhajan based, and Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the technical structure behind this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu, this bhajan is based on the rag Mohanam in Carnatic music. And we call it Bhupali in Hindustani music. It is a very popularly known raga, very famous raga.
Yes.
And you have many, plenty of bhajans also in this raga.
Yes.
The arohana of this raga goes like this.
Sa re ga pa dha sa sa dha pa ga re sa.
So all swaras are shuddh.
All are major notes.
All are major notes. You have only 5 notes in this raga. So it's a pentatonic raga.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. It would be nice if you could give a demonstration of how this raga flows.
Sure.
Melodious. It's such a sweet raga. Okay, so let's move on to the bhajan, Anirudh. Please tell us the swaras for its every line. Arvind Sai is here. We will follow the swaras after each line.
Definitely.
Pashupati tanaya bala gajanana dasa da pa pa da pa da pa ga sa re re re
dasa da pa pa da pa da pa ga sa re re re
tum ho vighna vinasha ganesha padari gari sadasa sa sagare sada pa
padare gare sada sa sa sagare sada pa
he shivanandana bala gajanana.
Here is a small deviation from the rag mohanam.
Yeah,
one knee element comes there.
Yes,
little bit. It's
which is deviation from,
yeah, diverting from the mohanam.
Gapa gasari gapa pa pa da pa gapa dani sani da pa da pa ga
gapa gasari gapa pa pa da pa gapa dani sani da pa da pa ga
vidya buddhi pradata gapa dasa sa sa ri da sa sa pa da sa sa da pa ga
ga pa da sa 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 ri da sa sa pa da sa sa da pa ga
mangala karahe mangala karahe sa 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 ri sa da pa ga 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 da pa ga ri
sa 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 ri sa da pa ga 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 da pa ga ri
sundar sa e ganesha ganesha re 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 ga ri sa ri ga ri sa 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 ga re sa da pa.
Re 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 ga re sa re ga re sa 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 ga re sa da pa.
So that was beautiful. Are there any more Ganesha bhajans in this raga?
There are plenty of bhajans in this raga, Mohanam or Bhopali. If you ask me Ganesha bhajan, then you have, I think,
Ganapati Om Jaya, Ganapati Om.
Yes.
And if you see other bhajans,
Jaya Jagadish Hari, Jaya Govinda Hari, Hari Hari Sumirana, Hari Hari Bhajo Mana.
Beautiful composition.
Yes. So shall we move on to the beat?
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is regular 8 beat, Hari Talam. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Pashupati Tanaya Balagajanana.
Pashupati Tanaya Balagajanana.
So that's a brief but I think suffice explanation of the raga and the tala of this bhajan. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Now that we have become familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which this bhajan should be sung so that we can offer it with heartfelt devotion to our beloved Lord. And for this, we need to know the meaning of all the words in this bhajan, at least to some extent. So let's begin with the first line.
Pashupati Tanaya Balagajanana.
The first word here is Pashupati, coming from Pashu meaning animal and Pati means master. It is an often used epithet for Lord Shiva. The inner meaning of this is that he alone can subdue all the animal tendencies that lurk inside us. Bhagwan says that when we give up the animal traits within us, we too can elevate ourselves to the divine level and become Pashupati or become divine. The second word is Tanaya meaning son. Bala means child and Gajanana comes from Gaja meaning elephant and Anana means face. There are many interesting legends about how Ganesha acquired the face of an elephant. But let us dwell more on the important lessons that we can learn from the elephant face. In a discourse on Ganesh Chaturthi Day in 1994, Swami revealed the deeper meaning of Ganesha's elephant head and said, "The elephant has profound intelligence. For example, Sai Gita, which is Bhagwan's pet elephant." Swami said, "Sai Gita came running when it heard the sound of Swami's car approaching. Though many cars were following Swami's car, Sai Gita could unmistakably identify Swami's car because of an uncanny recognition of the sound of the car. That is why we have the term Gaja Telivi, which means elephant intelligence. One having a sharp brain is described as having the intelligence of an elephant. The elephant, therefore, has Medha Shakti." So this is what Bhagwan said, explaining how the elephant is endowed with great intelligence. Bhagwan added that the elephant is proverbially the most intelligent among the mammals and it is vegetarian, which indicates its sattvic nature, which is its pious or pure nature. The elephant head indicates the intelligence through which obstacles in the path of achievement, whether secular or spiritual, can be overcome. So when we sing this line, Pashupati Tanaya Bala Gajanana, we call out to the elephant-faced Lord Ganesha, who is the beloved son of Lord Shiva. Let us seek his blessing so that we too may become intelligent like him. Let us seek his help in clearing all the obstacles in our life, whether they are worldly or spiritual. Let's move on to the second line.
Tumaho
विघ्न विनाश गणेश।
तुमहो मीन्स यू आर, विघ्न रेफर्स टू ऑब्स्टिकल, विनाश मीन्स डिस्ट्रॉयर, एंड गणेश द लास्ट वर्ड is derived from Gana and Isha. Gana refers to a class of divine entities who constitute the army of Lord Ganesha, and Isha means master or lord. So Ganesha is the one who rules over the Ganas. Regarding the word Ganas, Swami says that Ga stands for intellect and Na means Vijnana or higher knowledge. So Ganesha means the lord of the intellect and higher knowledge. Baba also explains that the Gyanendriyas and Karmendriyas, that is the five organs of perception and five organs of action, in addition to the mind and the intellect, all of these faculties together constitute the Ganas. So when we sing Tumaho Vighna Vinasha Ganesha, we bow down to the Lord who is the master of our senses, who is the master of the five organs of perception, five organs of action, the master of our mind and intellect. We pray to him to remove all obstacles in our life. We move on to the third line.
Tumaho Vighna Vinasha.
This is a variant of the earlier line. Sri Gandikota Subbarao was a great devotee of Bhagwan, and his father, Sri Gandikota Subramanya Shastri, was a Vedic scholar whom Bhagwan inspired to compose the Satya Sai Gayatri. In fact, Bhagwan himself called this Vedic scholar a Maharishi or a great sage, and he showered on him compassion and grace in abundance. Around the early 1970s, Swami materialized a silver idol of Ganesha for Mr. Subbarao, saying that this would help him overcome obstacles in his spiritual and professional efforts. And that was the time when he, along with a few other devotees, had founded a Ganesha temple in Newark. It was the very first traditional Vedic style temple in the Western Hemisphere. A stone frieze of the Sarvadharma symbol of all the religions was carved at the entrance of this Ganesha temple. But some of the tradition-bound Hindu devotees of the temple strongly resisted it. However, after Bhagwan appeared in the dreams of several trustees, the opposition melted away, and it melted away to the point where the temple management welcomed the idea of conducting Sai Bhajans in the main hall of the temple, facing the Sanctum Sanctorum itself. Today, the Satya Sai Bhajan Mandali at the Ganesh Temple in Newark is perhaps the oldest and the most well-attended and regularly organized bhajan group in the West. So that is how the Lord removes our obstacles, Tumaho Vighna Vinasha Ganesha. Let's move on to the fourth line.
He Shivanandana Bala Gajanana.
The first word here is He, which is a way of calling out to a person endearingly. The second word is Shiva, referring to Lord Shiva. Literally, Shiva means auspiciousness and goodness. Nandana means son, and we are already familiar with the phrase Bala Gajanana. Let us dwell more on the lessons the elephant-faced Lord teaches us. Swami says the elephant has large ears and it can hear even minute sounds. Shravanam, or hearing the glory of the Lord, is the first step in spiritual sadhana, for which the ears should be sharp. After hearing, one has to ruminate over what is heard, and this is called mananam. And then, finally, it has to be put into practice, and that is nididhyasanam. Swami further added, the elephant takes dushana and bhushana, that is praise and blame, equally. When it hears something bad, it moves its body this way and that way and shakes off the unwanted things and retains only that is good. So this is what we should learn from the ears of Lord Ganesha, to listen keenly to the glory and the teachings of the Lord and contemplate on those lessons and put them into practice. Also, always remain unaffected by both praise or blame in our lives. So, He Shivanandana Bala Gajanana, in this line we adore the elephant-faced little child of Lord Shiva, who teaches us to listen to the glories of the Lord and implement the lessons after listening to the glories of the Lord. We bow down to the one who teaches us to maintain equanimity under all situations in our lives. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Vidya buddhi pradata.
First word here is Vidya. Baba explained that Vidya truly means awareness. Awareness of the power that animates every cell in one's being. It is through this awareness that man learns all about the meaning of events in one's life from birth to death. Vidya in this sense is a way of life. Swami says everything you do is part of Vidya. It is total awareness. It comprehends everything in its totality. It is for this kind of total knowledge that you should pray to Lord Ganesha. The acquisition of degrees does not constitute Vidya. Swami says the entire life of a man should be regarded as one continuous process of learning. And buddhi, the second word, means spiritual intellect or spiritual discrimination. Pradata, the third word, means bestower. Regarding buddhi, Swami says the human mind has two distinct capabilities. One, the capacity to acquire worldly skills, which is called medha shakti. And second, the capacity for spiritual discrimination, and this is called buddhi. People do not have a clear idea of the difference between worldly cleverness and spiritual wisdom, and often they mistake buddhi to mean cleverness. Swami says this is not correct. Bhagwan further adds, our ancients were unanimously of the view that buddhi is superior to medha shakti and is any day to be preferred. Buddhi is essentially the combination of shraddha, that is earnestness, satyam, that is truth, yoga, that is the power of control, and mahat shakti, divine power. So buddhi is actually a combination of all these four potent powers: earnestness, truth, yoga, and divine power. Shraddha is the product of yearning and steadfastness. Truth or satyam aspect implies a proper judgment and perspective, where truth is the center focus. Yoga connotes a mastery over the senses. One cannot speak of a person being blessed with buddhi if he lacks sense and mind control. So, Shraddha, Satyam and Yoga together manifest as Mahat Shakti, that is the power of the divine. So, in short, all the aspects of buddhi are verily divine. Swami says buddhi lies above the mind, just below the Atma or the Self. So, buddhi is actually a reflection of the Atma. Now there is an interesting story behind why Ganesha is accorded prime position in any worship and why he is called Buddhi Pradata. Once Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva wanted to test their two sons, Ganesha and Subramanya. So they told them to go around the world and return. Ganesha did not stir from his place, while Subramanya mounted his peacock and set out, and with a lot of effort he completed the trip. When he was coming back, Ganesha saw him from a distance and instantly went around his parents and claimed himself to be the winner. When Mother Parvati asked Ganesha to justify his claim, he said, "Mother, the cosmos is the combination of matter and energy, the unity of father and mother. When I go around you, I have gone around the world itself, since you are the parents of the cosmos. There is no place where you two are not present. I see your omnipresence. By circumambulating both of you, I can claim to have gone around the cosmos." Bhagwan narrated this story on one occasion and said, the moment Shiva heard these words, he was astonished at the high intelligence of his son, and he said, "You are an exemplary son for one and all. We are your parents, but not more intelligent than you. Hence, before offering worship to me, let all people worship you. This is the boon I confer on you." And Baba then added, "Shiva is a parent who conferred such an honor of a high status than his own on his son. Therefore, Ganesha represents no commonplace principle. He is the embodiment of all potencies. He is the abode of every kind of intelligence." So that is what is conveyed in this line, Vidya, Buddhi, Pradata, we pay our obeisance to the one who confers on us supreme wisdom and spiritual discrimination. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Mangal karahe,
Mangala means auspiciousness and kara means to cause. In some contexts, kara can also mean hand, and the word he is a manner of calling out to a person. Bhagwan once explained that Lord Ganesha is not only the lord of various activities, but is the presiding deity of all auspicious functions. Swami said Ganesha can make even inauspicious occasions auspicious, and that he is always engaged in conferring these positive boons on all. Let me narrate at this point an incident shared by Dr. T. Ravikumar, who took over as the warden of the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's University in 2011. During one of the three sessions, which are interaction sessions of Bhagwan with the students studying in the Vrindavan campus, one day Swami seemed to be in a mood to read letters. So during his darshan rounds, he had accepted letters from devotees like he does always. So Swami picked a letter from the bundle, and as the boys sitting around him saw, he opened that letter and he started reading it. He then kept it aside, took another letter, and after a few minutes, he picked a third one. So this went on for 10 minutes. Suddenly Swami picked up what looked like a packet and he opened it. In it was a yellow cloth with a knot. Swami opened the knot, and inside there were a few coins which were black. And now Swami started distributing this to the boys who were sitting in the front. There was one student by name Venkataraman to whom Swami gave 3 to 4 coins. He was overjoyed at receiving this from Bhagwan's hands. Later, an elderly devotee addressed the students, and Swami asked Dr. Ravikumar also to address the boys. And soon it was time for Aarti, and Swami took Aarti and he returned to his residence. As the students were coming back to the hostel, Dr. Ravikumar noticed Venkataraman, who was admiring the coins that Swami had given him. He was brimming with joy, and he shared his joy with Dr. Ravikumar as they walked to the hostel. Imagine his surprise when he found that his parents had arrived that day. They had not communicated that they would be coming to visit him. So he quickly went up to them and he excitedly showed the coins that Swami had so lovingly given him just a few minutes ago. And immediately there were tears in his mother's eyes. And for a few moments she was silent. And then she narrated her experience. Venkataraman's parents were residing in Bilaspur in Madhya Pradesh. His father was going through a bad phase in his life. His health was not good. He was not satisfied with his job, and there were many problems in their family. On being consulted, a reputed astrologer had asked them to perform Ganapati Homam to propitiate the grace and blessings of Lord Ganesha. They performed the Homam in their ancestral house in Trichy in Tamil Nadu. And as per tradition, during the concluding rite of Purnahuti, certain items including coins are to be offered into the sacrificial fire. And even as this was being performed, the mother prayed to Swami to show her in some way that he had accepted her offering, because she totally believed that Swami was Lord Ganapati. And on their return journey, they heard that Swami was in Vrindavan. So they came there to have darshan and also see their son Venkataraman. And look at this situation, when Swami used that opportunity to graciously assure the family that he had indeed received the offering of the coins which were made to the fire. So that is how Bhagwan confers auspiciousness on us to ward off all the obstacles in our life's journey. And that is what is conveyed in this line, Mangala Karahi, Mangala Karahi. Let's move on to the seventh line.
Sundar Sai Ganesha, Ganesha.
Here Sundara means beautiful, and Sai of course is Lord Sai. So in this line we lovingly call out to the most beautiful Lord Sai Ganesha. And now for the last line.
ಸುಂದರ ಸಾಯಿ ಗಣೇಶ.
This is a variant of the earlier line. So with this we have gained a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now let's proceed listening to the complete version of the bhajan. You will now hear the bhajan as sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. And as you listen, please sing along.
पशुपति तनया बाल गजानन पशुपति तनया बाल गजानन ಗಣೇಶ ವಿನಾಶ ಹೇ ಶಿವನಂದನ ಬಾಲ ಗಜ
small excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam, who hails from Sikkim and was blessed to join Bhagwan's University way back in the 70s. He has had the opportunity to sing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for more than 3 decades and also has composed many Sai Bhajans which are sung regularly in Prashanti Nilayam.
Some of these bhajans were like, you know, Gananata Sai Gajanana. Now, when I was composing this bhajan, like, I didn't again sit to compose a bhajan like Gananata Sai Gajanana. All that thought came to me was again Sai Ke Darbar, like, you know,
yes.
I am seeing Lord Ganapati in all his regal splendor sitting in his court. The imagery of Lord Ganesh is all the time with his tiny rat and, you know, some place, either seated on a lotus petal. But here I am seeing my Lord seated on a throne, and then, you know, in all his regal splendor. And then this bhajan was the outcome of that feel.
Yes.
You know,
Did you plan that you want to compose in Darbari, or it just came?
No, that's what it came. And, you know, because the thought was so much, you know, the thought was so much. Even when I was singing that beautiful composition of, I think, Kalyan Chowdhury, Sai Darbar Mein Aao Gao for A Bridge Across Time. When I was singing the bhajan, the imagery was again Swami Ke Darbar. You know, I am in his darbar. You know that Mana Mandir Me Raja Di Raja Tum Ho Sai Maharaj. One of the most beautiful compositions, some blessed person, he composed that bhajan. And Kalyan Chowdhury composed this bhajan, Mana Mandir Me Raja Di Raja. And when even the thought of Raja Di Raja Maharaj, Bhagwan, yes. You know, it's so powerful, so rich. So this Gananath Sai Gajanana was composed, and after I reached home, Gantok, Sikkim, and as you said, whenever you were feeling a little bit lonely and left out, he would fill you with so many bhajans, and in between some occasions would come in your life. Like in 1996, I wanted to record one album, a bhajan album for the Sri Satyasai State Trust of Sikkim.
Okay.
So I went all the way to Bombay, and that gave me a beautiful excuse. Like, you know, it was again a beautiful inspiration to have a few more bhajans added there. So I took some bhajans from the past to be, you know, put in that bhajan CD. And then one beautiful bhajan that he gave me at that time was Karuna Swarupini Raj Rajeshwari. This bhajan is very familiar here?
Yeah, it is familiar. Not sung so often, but definitely.
Then I'll sing it full bhajan
sure.
Once.
Yeah, please.
Karuna Swarupini Raj Rajeshwari Tribhuvana Palini Partipurishwari Hridaya Nivasini Akhilandeshwari Tripura Sundari Viravadini Dashabhujadharini Asura Vinashini Tribhuvana Palini Partipurishwari Karuna Swarupini.
Wow.
And then one bhajan in Rag Chakravakam, Ahir Bhairav.
Yes.
Akhil Jagat Ke Data Sai, I think, is very much sung.
Yes.
So that was also composed for that bhajan album, 1996.
This Karuna Swarupini is such a moving bhajan. And one thing also that I've noticed in many of your compositions is the element of Karuna is always there. Is it Karuna Sagara, Karuna Swarupini, Karuna Niti? It's always there. And that is what is the essence of the Sai Avatar. It's so amazing.
So that was Brother Sonam, an alumnus of Baba's University, who is a gifted singer and composer of many Sai bhajans. And with that, we come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Abhishek and Sunil, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With hearts full of gratitude, we offer this yet another episode at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
So with that, it's time to conclude this segment of Thursday Life. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. And in a couple of moments, we will move on to our next program, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, where we dwell on Bhagwan's discourses. Today there are some special guests for this program. You will know In a few seconds, I will be back after Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam for a fresh episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And today, we are going to ruminate a little bit on the summer course. Tomorrow begins the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality in Prashant Nilayam for the students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. We will spend some time just reflecting on the purpose and the magic that happens during summer course through the experiences, through the reflections of so many students who have been blessed with this opportunity over all these years. And after that we'll move on to the second part of the Inspired Lives episode, where we converse with Mr. Satish Naik, the chief engineer of the Satya Sai Central Trust as well as Prashant Nilayam Ashram. And that, I assure you, is a very uplifting memory. It's a journey down the memory lane as well as very, very elevating reflections of how we could lead a life based on the principle of truth and righteousness. So all this coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, my colleagues are waiting to take over for Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. So please, drench yourself in this nectarous messages, the nectar waiting to be tasted in this bouquet of divine discourses of Bhagwan. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.